This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
On the air. I see the light up there, finally. You know how you said, I see the light?
You see the light.
I see the light.
You do see the light.
I see.
And it's bright.
And I really see it.
And it's also the handwriting on the wall.
1-888-221-8990. Okay, class, write that down. Keep that by the phone. This is important. 1-888-221-8990. This is toll free from any place. Well, any place that
anybody
you
can hear us.
Or they also can find us online, WCNO.com.
That's right.
So I don't care where you are, any place, you can bring us up online. You can't see us. And that's kind of a good thing.
Well, if we can raise more funds, we could get a camera in here.
If they could see the four of us today, they'd probably all never listen again. Because, you know, this is a bunch of old guys.
Speak for yourself.
And you're not the best looking one in the group.
And listen,
but I'm not sure you're the worst looking.
Exactly. Well, you need to just look in the mirror, Joe.
I don't like looking in a mirror. I see an old guy. It's not a pretty picture.
In their mind's eye, I'm sure we have a nice visage.
We have night vision, you say?
A nice countenance. My vision isn't that nice.
No, night vision.
Night vision. Not Bobby Knight.
The other night.
Late at night.
Without equipment, I can't see very well at night.
Another old guy. Hey, how come I understand that? Yeah. Oh, we have a phone call. I pick it up? Wow. But you didn't buzz it through there, Pastor Tom.
I haven't seen one of these before the show airs. It's been a long time.
We got a phone call we're supposedly taking if Pastor Tom can figure out how to do the phone. This ought to be interesting because look at that. It works. Yeah. Caller, it's Joe Martech. You're on the radio.
Hi. My name is Nerva. I kind of needed some help on a mortgage and what to do.
Okay.
I have a situation where in 2010, I bought a house from Habitat. Me and my ex-boyfriend, we split up years ago. I've been trying to get some help where to get his name off the house because he's asking for money, but I feel like I should not be paying him because I've been paying for the mortgage since I got the house.
And?
Okay.
So he's not willing to sign over his interest in the house. Is that correct?
No, sir, because he wants money. And like I told him, why you want money if you never pay for the mortgage? I have proof that I've been paying.
You're using logic. Here comes a problem. Let me ask you another question. Do you have a mortgage on the house?
Yes, sir. I'm still paying for it.
And it's in both of your names?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the deed's in both of your names, and the mortgage is in both of your names, and you probably both signed on the note. So here, you don't have an easy one, and you got kind of lucky because Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, just walked in. And Mike, did you hear the scenario?
Yes.
So what's your unofficial opinion?
I would highly doubt that the mortgage company is going to release you from liability. Or any of them. Right.
Now, here comes another question.
Unless it's court ordered, that's a different animal.
Well, Vince and
We bought a house from Habitat. I don't know if you're familiar from it.
Of course, yes.
But you have a mortgage on it. It doesn't matter who you bought it from. If you have a mortgage on it, then you're both equally responsible for or liable for the payment on that. So I highly doubt that a lender would release either one of you. Now, if you're fully divorced and the judge orders for one party to deed it over to the other party, then that you may have an exception on
they,
that.
They also never got married.
Oh, well, then I, well, I don't...
We never got married, but I talked to the people of Habitat, and I told them, what do I have to do to get his name off? And she was just telling me to go to court. But, I mean, I've been looking for lawyers, and the lawyer's just telling me to pay him off. But I feel like I should not pay him off because he never paid for the mortgage. I've been paying since 2010.
See, what you're doing is you're using logic, and logic won't work in the law. The law is going to say you both own that house together, and as long as the payments are being made, they don't care who made them. Now, you might have to say with him, okay, boyfriend, look it, I'm willing to give you X amount of dollars, you sign off on the house, then what you're going to have to do is go refinance it, mm-hmm. right, Mike?
Correct.
Because you're going to have two people on it, and in the refinance process, then he transfers the house to you, his share, and you pay him off. And I don't know, listen, he's got you.
Yeah.
You're not in a good position because he has a legal right to his half of that house. Now, whether you're paying it or he's paying it makes no difference.
Correct.
Bank lender doesn't care. So, do you guys talk at all, or are you fighting?
No, we don't talk at all. I mean, at all. He just talking about that. He wants his name off. I got to pay him, but, you know, I mean.
Has he said how much money?
He's not having so much money. No, he didn't say.
Okay, well, here's what I would do again. Now, that you might find, does he go to church?
No, he's not.
No? Okay, next.
You know, you might want to check with an attorney, because if you were married and one spouse leaves and you never hear from him again, you can file for an abandonment. And I don't
believe... Well, we never got married, yeah, though. We just lived together for 9 years.
Yeah, but I'm not exactly sure if that would apply to this type of situation.
Okay.
But it's very possible. If he left the property, vacated the property, wasn't responsible for it, there may be some legal recourse.
But
I just don't know.
You still have to go to court.
You'd still have to go to court. A judge has to sign off on that.
And you can't. And you're going to have an awfully hard time doing that without an attorney.
Exactly. It might be cheaper just to write a check and get him out of your life. And if you're going to refinance, you can do what's called a cash out refinance. If you have enough equity in the property, you can take cash out at the time of closing, and that could be the cash that you can use to pay him off.
Here's what Mike was saying. I would try to get him to tell you how much money he's willing to accept, and I would get that in writing from him, have him sign a piece of paper that says he's willing to sign off on the house if you give him a check for, let's say, $5,000, and I'm just picking a figure, don't listen to me what I'm telling you, he's going to have to agree to it. Then you come back and talk to Mike. You have a job?
Yes, sir.
You got good credit?
Not so much, but I got enough credit, but just not so good.
You know what your credit score is?
Like around 6, I think.
Well, what we can do is if you call me tomorrow, you know, we can talk about some different options for you. If you're not in a position right now to do a refinance on your own, we can maybe point you in the right direction, get you set up where you can in the future. And at that point in time, you can tell them, hey, look, you know, I can give you X amount of dollars. And that's really going to be based on what the value of the property is today, because, you know, we can't lend up to 100% of the property value on a cash out refinance.
How long ago did you do the house?
2010.
How much is it worth?
I haven't checked yet.
What do you guess? Do you have a guess on how much it's worth?
I don't know. I don't know how to do all that stuff.
Okay. Where's the property located?
In Indiantown.
Okay. Well, you know, we have another member on our team, Victoria Lloyd, and we might be able to come up with some kind of estimated figure to see if this is all feasible.
Here's what you do. Mike, tell her your phone number and have her call you tomorrow.
Yes. If you can call me at 772-285-0315. Just call me tomorrow and we'll come up, we'll crunch some numbers. And if you're not in a position now, like I said, we can point you in the right direction. Maybe we can set you up for refinancing in the future, maybe not too far in the future. And if there's enough equity, you can take it out of the house and then pay him off at that time.
Make sense? You still, yeah, I know you don't like, I know you don't like that answer, but the truth is, he's got a legal right, and we just had an attorney walk in, Greg Fasula, and here's the lady. She bought a house with her boyfriend. They have a mortgage and a note. They both sign. He doesn't make payments. They split up a long time ago. She wants him out. He wants to get paid. He's got a, I mean, yeah. Right? I mean,
yeah. So, yeah. In that type of situation, he's on the deed.
Yeah.
He's on, his name's on the yeah. deed. Yeah, it's going to come down to numbers. What's the house worth?
What's he willing to accept?
How much has she paid into it?
But he's not going to get off unless he accepts a number, right?
Right.
If she has to buy him out.
Unless you get a court order.
Now, in order to get a court order, she'd have to go to court because they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not an easy.
It doesn't matter, but.
Well, how do you get a court order with somebody that say he's never made a payment, but she'd have to prove that and go to court?
Well, you know, I'm not a real estate attorney, but I would think it'd be like a quiet title action.
Right.
Anyway. You
know, so she would have to figure out how much she's put into the house, the payments that she's right. made, and it's going to come down to, you know, the numbers.
But you got to go to court, right?
Well, unless there's some way they'd be able to come to some agreement, which would be the best thing.
Well, here's what we're saying. What I suggested was, if he could sign a letter and say, hey, I'm willing to take $5,000, pick a number, and get it signed and notarized, if she bought him out, then she could refinance the house and get rid of him.
Right. That would be ideal. Right?
That'd be the easiest way, and it wouldn't have to go to court.
Right? Yeah, that would be the best way to do it. I mean, she's going to, you know, she's going to have to pay him one way or the other.
So no matter what.
It's better
if he's not willing to go.
Without lawyers, without court.
She's stuck. Sure. Call Mike tomorrow. Let him run a check and see what your credit really is, and if you can get a fine loan and go from there, work it backwards.
One last question. Do you know what type of mortgage is on the property now? Is it an FHA loan?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I pay Habitat, and Habitat do the rest. Oh. And they pay the insurance and everything else.
Uh-huh. Different story.
That could be a bit different. We'd have to see what's recorded on that property. It would really help if you had a copy of the mortgage and note when you called me, so we can determine what kind of financing you currently have on the house.
Do you have that in your possession at home? The closing papers, the mortgage and note, do you know where that is?
Yeah, I have it right now on me.
Okay.
Well, when you call tomorrow, it'd be nice to have that handy.
Okay.
Well, hey, listen, we'll help you, and we'll try to guide you the best we can, but I guess the good news is you got rid of him,
not quite.
not quite.
Not
right.
quite.
Not quite. All right, girl. Listen, good luck, and we'll help you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
You know, the reason I asked about the type of financing on the property is that some loans are assumable, like FHA loans are assumable. So even though she's currently on the loan, if it's an FHA loan, she can assume it from the both of them into her name.
If she's saying
that doesn't help with the cash out situation.
She's making payments straight to Habitat. It doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not. That's a different type of setup. We'd have to see how that's all has been structured.
Yeah, but also come down to the numbers, as Greg was saying. Because what if there's only $25,000 in equity in the house?
Right.
She might say to him, you know, here it is. I made all these payments. I'll give you $3,000, and you're out of here.
Yeah.
Because exactly. I paid the rest. All the equity's mine. Yeah. I paid for it.
But still, she'd have to refinance regardless.
Yeah, but once she gets the title, and of course we assume that she would qualify, but that's a big
there
assumption.
There you go.
Yes.
You know, I could have to find out if she qualified. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, if she's 600 plus, you should be able to get her financed.
Yeah, you know, FHA really doesn't have a minimum credit score. And I can tell you, when the score is below 600,
it
becomes difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, we routinely do FHA loans down to 580. And below 580, it gets extremely difficult, but it is doable.
When this lady calls you tomorrow, and she'll give you the information, you can do your normal stuff, and you should be able to guide her pretty well.
Yeah, and like I said, if it's not a situation where we can help her right now, we can point her in the right directions for future success.
What Mike is trying to say is, let's say you've got some credit problems that maybe you can cure over the next 3 to 6 months or year, so that you then qualify to get things done the way you want. So you may not be able to get rid of him overnight, but it given time and a few things fold together, come together. But you should be able to figure that out pretty quick, right?
Yeah, it usually just requires me to pull a credit report.
1-888-221-8990. So we have Sitting here today, Greg Fasula, attorney, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor. Pastor Tom is guarding the phone out in the front.
And I got a call from Victoria. She's on her way.
Pastor Dave is saying, hey, listen, we're going to fill the house right up.
That's right.
And Dan is supposed to be coming, but he's bringing his wife, so he may be. Yes.
You have to take a picture.
We never have the full team together.
No, we rarely do.
We can get a picture at dinner. They should all be there, right? This would be a good thing.
Be a good thing.
But in that situation, the lady that just called, I mean, if there's any way that they can work that out, I mean, maybe they need a lawyer to work it out, but
mitigate
to make a big federal case.
Get the
case
parties
about
together.
It.
Yeah.
Get somebody
get
in
together.
The,
mediate.
Mediate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for it. I could mitigate. Yeah. Didn't sound right.
But
yeah,
that would be the best thing.
Well, there you go. So. Yeah, and literally that could work. Indian Town, you're in Greg's in Port St. Lucie. If you're listening, let me give you Greg's phone number too. Then between Mike and Greg, you guys should be able to help her and point her in the right direction. What do you think?
Sure.
What's your phone number, Greg?
772-337-0062.
All right. So I'm assuming she's not driving. I didn't ask her that because
they could. She could call the station, right?
Yeah, you can always call the station, and they'll give you the numbers. 1-888-221-8990. So back in '04, Greg Fasula, Joe Martek, and Dan Warren, independent insurance agents, started doing these radio shows, and we've been doing them now since then. We don't know exactly when we started, but we knew it was about then. And we've been able to help a lot of people do a lot of things. I'm a stockbroker, financial advisor. My job is to help people with money to make sure that their money's protected and they get a decent return on their money. Vince Rosino, CPA, is sitting here. Boy, oh boy, do we have a hot topic these days with taxes?
Well, yep, a lot going on there.
We're going to get into that in a minute. Let me take this phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Garfield Andrews. And I live in Vero Beach, Florida.
All right.
And I had a major problem with my home, and I never could find the proper advice or get the help I needed in order to solve my problem. And my problem was a lending institution gave out a loan. They gave out a loan
right
to one spouse. My name is on the deed. My wife's name was on the deed.
Okay.
And it was 5 years when I found out that there was a loan on the house. And it came up for foreclosure. I was furious. I came home to find the guy in the yard taking pictures of the house, and I questioned that. He said, the wife owes us money. I'm like, not on this house. We borrowed money on a duplex over there. He said, this house. So I said, show it to me in writing. He told me to come to his office. He never showed up at the office. I asked the people in the office to let me see our signatures on the loan. They couldn't produce anything for me. Now, since then, they foreclosed on my home. I've had several attorneys dealing with it, and my house was sold on market. The bank bought my house for $100 November 16th, just passed.
I understand.
And it was nothing I could do about it.
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
I've been fighting it for.
Sounds like your wife was on the note. You might have been on the mortgage, and she didn't make the payments, even though you thought she did, but she didn't. And then they came and foreclosed, and once they foreclosed and it's over with, you're done.
Yep. What I would check though is the mortgage.
How can they give out the loan with just one spouse signature?
They can't.
They can't. Well, they can't legally.
You can get a loan in one person's name, sign on a note.
Yes, but he's on the deed, so he would have to sign the mortgage document. So what you need to do, the mortgage document is part of public record. So you need to go down to the courthouse and find that mortgage document that was recorded. That's the collateral for putting up the house you know, for the note. So what I would do is find that, go down to the courthouse. It's pretty easy for them to find. Find the mortgage document, see if your name is on it, and see if that is your signature on it.
I saw the signatures they provided. They were all sky blue when I saw them. The whole page was sky blue. The next time I saw it, a lawyer pulled it off the internet, and then everything was black. I couldn't tell when it was put there.
Yeah, that's why I would go down to the courthouse and have them pull the document.
Right. Yourself, yeah.
It's public record. You're entitled to have that document, just like I am. We're joking.
And they'll help.
You need
help
to find out if your name was forged or what. You need to take a look at that.
RoboSign.
What county are you in? What county are you in?
Indian River County.
All right, you know where your courthouse is. You go in there and ask them. Tell them you want to look up a deed, yep. And they'll help you. And they will. That's their job to help you.
Matter of fact, you should be able to pull it up right online. I go on Indian River County.
But he said that you should have blacked out on. He looked at it online.
No, that's what the attorney provided. I mean, it's simple to check it online. I would do that first. If it's something you can't, it's not legible. Then I would go down to the courthouse to the clerk of the court, and they'll pull that record right up for you.
I've been battling these guys for 5 years, and I just lost.
Well,
I've tried anything. I've called every agency. I've told I had a case. I've had an ex-judge say it. When and if they foreclose on you, they will have committed a crime in the state of Florida for issuing. The judge saw all this wrong stuff on it, but he was retired, and they hadn't foreclosed. So they just foreclosed in 17. They waited until some new thing came up. And the judge was 3 more years, so he was 5 years retired. That was my savior, but he can't help me because he was retired.
See, were you served?
It was a Ponzi scheme. The county got my property listed at $27,000, and the loan was issued for $50,000. And they advertised my house on sale for $250,000. Now, this sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me.
Were you served in the foreclosure?
You got your foreclosure papers, right? They served them to you?
Yes.
And then you got a final notice that is foreclosed. And are you still in the house, yes, or did they evict you now?
Well, maybe 30 to 45 days, I'll be homeless.
Yeah. I think what you said, you're going to go down to the courthouse and get the papers and see who, if that's your signature, if it's not your signature, then you can call us back after you do a little bit of homework, and we'll help you the best we can. But it's not a good situation. You know, and I know, and you've been going through it for a long time, but you got to go look at the papers yourself.
You know,
and they'll make a copy for you too there.
And also, if you suspect that there's forgery on the mortgage, I mean, that's a document that's notarized. So then we have to look up the notary and see what happened there.
You see, they did have these, quote, they had big major suits going on with lenders doing what they call robo foreclosures. They weren't really looking at the documents perfectly. So once you look at those documents, if you have a problem with any of them, then call us back and let us see how we can direct you. Is that okay?
Yes, but one more thing before you go. Let me go. If you was loaning me $50,000, I would have to sign those documents.
Yes.
Just as much as my partner.
Right.
Every signature is like 20 some times with my initials on the side. And then my name only appears on the documents 4 times with no abbreviations or nothing like that. And you wouldn't loan me $50,000 without letting me sign those papers correctly the way I'm supposed to sign them.
Well, when you do a refinance, if you're doing any type of refinance, whether it's cash out refinance or not, the spouse gets what's called a 3-day right of rescission. So what happens is, let's say the loan closes on Monday. You have till Friday to rescind on that loan. So even if you were not on the note, you had to sign the rescission documents if you wanted to rescind. So I really find this all strange that you weren't party to this at all at the time of closing. It's no, really very difficult to do what you're saying is that without some kind of forgery going on.
You got to go back and get a copy of those documents and check out the signatures and get all the pages, because they have to be recorded, every one of them. And you have collusion. You have a legal right to it.
Yeah. Could be collusion between the notary.
I got all my paperwork. Sure. I mean, a blind man is so blind he can see that. Okay, how can I be John Doe, unknown spouse, then Garfield Andrews all on the same application. It's not possible. You wouldn't let me sign like that.
But, okay, you have all the original documents, a copy of all of them?
Yeah.
That are signed by you and her?
Okay, my signature was never put there by me.
Yeah, so they're forged.
It was forged.
Well, then you have to look for this notary, because the notary has to have a copy of your identification.
They have to have a copy of your driver's
license.
Yeah,
they have
a
driver's license or some other official document.
None of that stuff never occurred. And the notary, everything was fixed. I mean,
well, this is a criminal situation then.
It's criminal. Yeah.
I would, you know, if that's the case,
then
you
need to. I tried the sheriff's department. I tried the police department.
What did the sheriff say?
Florida Consumer Affairs. The sheriff's department told me I got a mortgage. You didn't pay your mortgage. He said everybody got a mortgage. That was the end of that.
Did not.
That was the end of. I mean, right here in Bureau, a Ponzi scheme and a crime, and nobody wants to address it. I'm screaming bloody murder, but I can't get anybody to.
Is your okay? Now the other person on the deed that's your wife or girlfriend?
Ex-wife.
So, I mean, did she admit to receiving these funds?
I was talking to her. She said you didn't sign anything. They gave it along to her without me, and that was wrong. Wow. Was supposed to tell her she couldn't have that loan because
that
I'm
personally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just share with me. I wasn't married, but two of us got on it. Only one person signed the note. We were both on the mortgage and deed.
Right. Yeah, we do that all the time. That occurs.
So she could have been on the note and the mortgage and not him, but he was on the mortgage and deed.
Well, that's why we have to see the mortgage that was recorded, see if his name's on it, and see if that signature is his or not.
Okay. There you go. So if she was the only person on the note, but you're on the mortgage and deed, and you still didn't pay for it, it's a foreclosure. I mean,
correct.
There's nothing you can do about that. But the key is this: if they signed your name on something that you didn't agree to, which should, if you're not on that note,
if you're not on the mortgage document,
what about the note itself, the promissory note?
You could be on the deed and not be on the note. That's not an issue.
I understand that. But you can't, how do I phrase it? The person that signs the note has the legal liability to
correct
make payment.
Right.
You and I could be partners on a piece of property, Mike, and only one of us signs on the note.
Right.
They foreclose, you lost your interest, and I lost mine.
Yeah, but me being on the deed, I have to be willing to sign the property up off as collateral. So I would have to sign the mortgage document. So
at closing.
He would have had to sign the mortgage document at the time of closing.
Okay.
Another question I would have is when did the divorce occur? Before this or after? Before the foreclosure or after?
Before the foreclosure.
The divorce did?
Yes, like 3 years before the foreclosure.
I mean, did she get the home in like a court order?
Over in Georgia.
Georgia.
Well, she got the home in a court order, right?
Over in Georgia.
I don't care where, but if you
a Georgia judge said she can have all properties and everything, but a Florida lawyer told me, don't worry about this. Georgia judges runs nothing in Florida.
Uh-huh.
That was what I was told.
Well, you got a legal divorce in the state of Georgia, and in the divorce decree, the judge decided she would get whatever she got, and if she's the only one on the note on that mortgage, I mean, I hate to tell you, you don't. It doesn't sound like you have a leg to stand on. I mean, Greg, am I grasping for straws here?
Where's my interest in the prop? It's a difficult situation. I don't know. So the Georgia judge said the home is hers.
If in the divorce decree, if he gave her the house in the divorce, and
it would have to be transferred to Florida somehow.
Somehow.
Yeah. How do they transfer the title in Florida?
I don't have a clue.
That judgment would have to be transferred,
and then you'd have to go back to Georgia to see how they transferred it, if they did.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. Well, I mean, exciting. But here's the reality: if the payments were not made on the house, period, they foreclosed on it. Whether you signed the note or she did, it doesn't make a big difference as long as
I still would be very interested to see that mortgage document that was recorded.
And that mortgage document's recorded here in Florida, correct?
If the house
is in Bureau, in any river county.
Okay. Yeah. You need to go to the courthouse and just get the original, get a copy of it, and make sure
that
it's
stop,
your...
That's stop number one tomorrow. That's what you need to go.
After you get that done, you call back, and we'll help you. And we got another call waiting. Can you do that and then call us back?
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
Thank you, sir. Do we still have a call waiting, Pastor Tom? No, he dropped. A woman that's not patient. Can you imagine that happening?
Never.
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 Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, just came in. And now, you know what? This might be the first time in history, maybe the second, that we put the whole, maybe third, right? Hey, who's counting? But, well, it's a rare, Dan, you got to admit.
We have places to go later, Joe.
Okay.
No. Don't give our secrets away.
But you're stuck for a half hour.
Our fan club will be meeting us there.
That's right.
1-888-221-8990. So the way I understood was if that house was, she was the only one on the note, Greg or Mike?
Yeah, so if she, we do it all the time. So if you have a husband and wife that are married, they're both on the deed. Let's say one person has, you know, bad credit or can't qualify for the mortgage for one reason or another. Then that person who does qualify could be on the note, but everyone who's on the deed has to sign the mortgage document.
They all have to agree to it.
Right, because that puts up the house as collateral for the note. So it's very possible that she was on the note, but he would have had to sign the mortgage, which gives authorization to put the house up as collateral for the repayment
on
the
note.
So that's why we need, it all goes back to the mortgage document. That's available to anyone. They could just go down to the public records and pull that up. And I do it all the time. I just go on the internet, go into the property appraiser's office, look up the property. It'll have the page and page number and public records. Click that. It goes pulls the mortgage right up.
Hey, speaking of taxes and our new, we almost have legislation. There's wrinkles that come every hour or two, I hear.
It's difficult. I've got a lot of calls from clients want to know, how is this going to affect me?
We don't know yet.
And until they get a final legislation, it's tough to predict. Because even though it looks similar, these plans, the House plan, the Senate plan, there are big differences.
That's what I was listening to CNBC today, and they said there were some pretty big differences between the two plans, and they're trying to work towards the middle.
One of the biggest differences has to do with the timing of the corporate reductions from 35 to 20. Senate wants to push it off to 2019.
Should be House, instantly.
And the House wants to do it immediately, January 1.
Right.
Other differences in state and local tax deductions, although that doesn't really have a lot of applicability for us here in Florida.
But
for up north and northeast, that's a big deal.
Big
for
deal.
Them. Big deal. Because up there, they could be paying anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 a year in property tax.
Half a dozen states, plus more than that. I mean,
they may end up moving down here. That'd be good.
Well, I think that's going to be a good thing. Mike actually commented on that a few weeks ago. He thought it would be good for the mortgage industry.
I would think that's going to be a boom for Florida real estate.
Yeah, man. And I happen to agree. I've been reading a lot of articles on it.
But there's
a lot of people who are on the fence will be coming.
If I got a house up north, I still have to sell it, and the values could go way down.
That could happen.
That could happen.
Absolutely.
So it's a catch-22.
In fact, I have a relative.
Our values would go up, right, Vic?
Our values would.
We have more.
Theirs would go down, but we're still at such a great value. I mean, you can't lose. You're in a win-win situation.
Not today.
Yeah, but
if their taxes weren't so high from all the things they give away, they wouldn't be in that position.
Yeah, but keep in mind, there is a downside. The downside is, as all these people start flooding into Florida,
we
have infrastructure costs. We have more fire, police, and so on. So there is a cost associated with all this.
Well, that's what happened last time, Vince, that the taxes started to go up so high for people that did not have homestead, and they said, but we have to build these roads and schools, and you're absolutely right, and that's what happens, and that's why the taxes started to rise up.
Yeah. Hey, listen, have you heard of fees that the county charges when you want to build?
Impact fees?
Oh, impact fees. Oh, yeah, I'm very familiar with those.
Have they not just continued to go up constantly?
But the other thing,
and they have to build a new road before they can build a subdivision to get to their house. It goes on and on and on.
The problem is, I have seen developers put that on the back of the property owner to get that they pass a bond through the city or the county, and as you pay your taxes, you pay it off.
Special tax assessment,
that's wrong.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
But
right.
Hey, buyer beware. You've got to be if all of this comes to fruition, and hey,
the rates are good. I think it depends on on what your individual tax status is.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of deductions they're eliminating, like medical. That's going to impact people. For example, I was reading today one of the bulletins I got about these, what do they call them, community living care facilities, where you prepay your medical costs up front when you get in. Well, if they do away with the medical deduction, that's going to have a major impact on seniors and their families. So that's in there.
I think the health care mandate.
They're supposed to.
The health care mandate is will be repealed as part of the Senate bill. The right. House didn't. Right. But, you know,
but we know it's only a tax according to the Supreme Court.
Yes, it's only a tax. Yeah. The other thing is on the individual rates, I mean, as I say, you're giving up deductions. And then they're giving back to you an increase in the standard deduction. For a lot of people here in Florida in particular, that's a big deal for them. But here's the thing, you know, they're going to raise the standard on married people from 12.6 to 24,000. That all sounds great. I mean, that's $12,000 pickup. It's wonderful. But they don't tell you is if you're going to give up your personal exemptions, and each one is worth about $4,100. Right. So you might, if it's to husband and wife, you're giving back $8,200. You're getting 12. Yes, you're still ahead of the game.
But not, in theory, not as much as they thought.
Not as much as you would think. Yes, you are. You're going to get some money, and I guess that's all good. Whether it's $100 or $1,000,
and that's why
good.
We have accountants.
That's right. Well, so I had a client call me up the other day and said, "Vin, I thought that we were supposed to be filing on a postcard with the next round." Yeah. I said, "Don't bet on it."
A big postcard.
Yeah. Big
bigger.
One that takes up all of this room
and the poster board.
But there is good news for businesses out there, for people who are in business or self-employed, and it depends on the kind of business you're in.
Except for services, right?
Well, yeah. Service business, and they named them. Accountants, lawyers, doctors. We're not going to get any benefits from the new tax law. We'll have to just hope that we're in a bracket that's reduced from where we were before, and this whole business was standard versus itemized.
How about insurance agents? Do they get it?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Again, this is going to be subject. It will be subject to the regulations that are written later. I mean, you can pass the law, but there's tons of regulations that come later that kind of define the law.
You sound like Nancy Pelosi to me.
We have a strong lobby.
Strong lobby.
Well, but what I mean by that is that it depends on how you define. Because I was reading something today about it where they said any business whose revenue is earned on the reputation of the people within the organization, i.e., all of us who are in the service business,
right?
Then that would be a service business, and you wouldn't qualify for lower rates.
What if you had a bad reputation and you still made lots of money?
We start posting.
I've got an answer for that, but it's not politically correct.
Yeah, right. Post an answer. Dan is a bum. Can we get signatures that agree so he can get a tax deduction?
So I can get my tax right off there.
Yeah, right.
But in the S corporations, people have formed in LLCs, S corporations. They're going to be a break, but depends on which version passes. And the House version gives you a 25% cap on passive only.
Passive.
Which is interesting. Only on a passive investment. But if you're in an operating company, an S corp or something, then only 30% of your revenue or income, net income, would be subject to the lower rates.
30% of your gross or net?
Net, the net taxable.
After
so 70% of it would still be subject to ordinary.
All you have to do is be a corporation?
If you're a corporation, yes, you'd have lower rates. And there's going to be probably a resurgence of people going to C corps now because that's way to save some money.
I can see that in a heartbeat. Hey, it's only money, right?
Man, it's only money, but you know, I have my concerns about lowering the rate from 35 to 20. I would rather have seen something in between that and give more back in the individuals.
You're talking the corporate tax rate?
Yes.
Yeah, but what I suspect will happen is you're going to see that massive reduction. You're going to see new taxes creep in, and 10 years up the road, you'll be back to 35 and 40% plus. All the new little stuff they stuck in, that's normally how it goes.
Well, keep in mind, Dan, that the Senate version sunsets in 2027. So if it passes, that means everything gets reset to zero. Not zero, but it goes back to the old rates.
Goes back the way it is
right now. It goes back in 2027.
Well, would any of us in this room really be concerned about 2027?
In this room? Well, let's figure that out.
Maybe
the way things are going, maybe I will.
I hope so.
I don't know. We got Greg pretends he's young anymore, but he really is.
Greg, he definitely got at least 10 years more in his.
You got another 10. Mike,
He's got more, at least 20 over there.
Yeah, but I'm in the mortgage business, Joe. That's like 5 years.
1-888-221-8990. So we have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, sitting here. We have Mike Polis, mortgage broker. We got Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Greg Fasula, attorney. We have Vince Rosino, CPA, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. And we are putting to sleep Pastor Dave.
He doesn't have a microphone today.
We're not causing you any trouble at all.
He's napping. You have to give him a break.
Is Tom napping out there? You got to keep an eye on him.
The phone will wake him up.
Hey, Vince.
Yes.
You know, one thing that Victoria and I are probably interested in is the reduction in the mortgage interest deduction.
Right. Right.
How do you think that that's going to affect things?
Well, I'd say, let's put it this way. The House version was capping the mortgage interest deduction to $500,000 of mortgage principal. Mm-hmm. So up to $500,000 of mortgage, you'd be able to deduct the interest. If you have mortgage beyond that, then you wouldn't be able to deduct the interest. That's the House version. I don't know what the Senate version is right now, but I know it's not the same. And so it depends on where this comes out in the compromise, the committee.
A lot of people in the Northeast, California, et cetera.
Yeah, another reason why they might be.
Oh, I think this is very negative for the Northeast and California and Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's any big major cities, I mean, where they have high taxes and they have people buying high-priced homes and real estate's up there. And $500,000 is not a big deal for somebody like in the Northeast, for example. Mm-hmm.
Especially California.
California. Right. Big time.
Chicago.
But we've all seen a house here for $300,000 going for $1.5 million, $2 million someplace else. That makes no sense. So, you know, this may actually bring some reason to the escalation in other places that we don't see here. That house isn't worth $2 million.
Well, that's supply and demand, right? If the demand exceeds the supply, the prices go up.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I think you're going to find is a resurgence in people focusing now on their state and local taxes.
Yeah.
Because in the past, they've gotten that benefit, the mitigation, through a deduction,
right? It didn't matter.
That's right. Well, it didn't matter to them because they were getting it was deductible, you know? Now that it's not so much deductible,
that's a big problem.
They might take a look at that.
I mean,
and you have lots and lots of cities in areas that are going to be affected that have huge pension debt that they don't have the funds for.
That's right. Well, I think that's the next crisis on the horizon.
Let's talk about Florida, though, and our listeners, which is 99% of them are in Florida. The three people that are not are catching us on the internet. One's in Missouri, one's in Kansas, you know, and they don't care about us.
Well, you know, the thing is here in Florida, I think if you're somewhere, if you're making between $50,000 and $300,000, I think you're going to do okay under this. The other thing I didn't tell you about is they're increasing the child credit. So the child credit now is $1,000 per child as long as they're under 17 years of age. Don't want to raise it. The House wanted to raise it $600 a child. Senate raises it $1,000. So if the Senate version passes, it'll be $2,000 per child. That helps a lot of middle class families.
It's a deduction.
People. It would be not a deduction. It's a credit, which is even better than a deduction.
Well, how's that work?
Well, with the deduction, you can deduct, let's say you deduct a dollar, but what's it worth in your pocket is whatever tax bracket you're in. So you're in a 25% tax bracket, or let's call it 15, which most people are in this case, 15% bracket, every dollar deduction is worth 15 cents in your pocket.
Okay. Right?
Where a credit is a dollar for dollar offset. So if you've got a dollar credit, it'd become a dollar off the tax, not 15 cents.
Now, so on the earned income tax credit, I have heard that what they want to do is if you maximize your refund, you can't get money back you didn't pay into. So it used to be
the child tax.
That's not true entirely because this is a big contention right now. You've probably been watching the news because there's a contention now about even with illegals with this earned income credit and also with the child credit. Is that in the past they were allowing people who had what they called ITIN numbers, or they just registered with the IRS.
Yeah, but they had 15 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you could get it on that basis. The House version said no good. You have to have a Social Security card in order to get the credit.
But let's say you do. Let's say you're a legitimate working person making $25,000 a year and you've got three kids. You're a single mom. Let's just use that. So that person doesn't pay much in taxes. They may pay Social Security and Medicare, but they paid very little.
You get refunded, what they call it is refundable, Joe. Even though you didn't pay in, you get a check.
but they got a substantial amount of money.
Oh, in the thousands. Yeah, absolutely.
So how is that still on the table?
As far as I see, it's still on the table.
It's still on the table.
And, yes. And I guess that, you know, it's in a sense, it's additional assistance to low-income families.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, yeah, and that's what it's been all along. Yeah. So it pays to have a lot of kids is what we're saying.
Yes, under this law, the new law, yeah. You have a lot of kids, definitely.
One. When I was in high school, they preached zero population growth, which meant if you were a husband and a wife, a responsible couple had two children, so when you died, they took your place. So that was considered zero population growth.
And then what
the
happened?
Government doesn't encourage that anymore.
No.
Well, even in China now, they've slowed down on that part, saying you can allow to have more than one kid. So 1-888-221-8990. But I guess what I'm more concerned about is who our listeners are here. But from what, if I'm reading between the lines, Vince, it doesn't look like the average working person is going to get hurt. Looks like they may get benefited.
Oh, I think the average working person definitely will get a benefit out of this. And the question is, are they getting as much as everyone thinks they're going to get? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's each individual taxpayer. We'd have to analyze each one individually.
But the odds are good that it's not going to be worse than it is.
No, right not now. For the lower income people. No, yeah. Not at all.
So you're talking, let's say, a family of four making $75,000 a year. They're probably going to be okay.
I think they'll be okay. Yeah. Because, yeah. A, you're going to get a higher standard deduction. A lot of them are not itemizing anyway because
right,
they don't
right.
have enough itemized deductions.
Right.
And if they're married, or if they're single, they're going to get a $12,000 itemized deduction.
Right.
And then they may get no exemptions, true, but they'll get it on the credits, on the child credits, if they
there
have
you
children.
There you go.
So
1-888-221-8990. Well, you know, I guess this might come to fruition, they think, between now and the end of the year. Maybe.
Well, I want it signed by the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, 3 weeks ago, I would have thought you were crazy to think they'd ever get something like this through in a month's time. But it looks pretty good right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all going to find out. You know, it's one of those things that I guess we'll never know until. And then you'll only have to memorize another 60,000 pages because I'm sure they're going to make it easy. Yeah.
Well, the two tax bills alone, well, each one is somewhere around 17,000 pages.
That's crazy.
Wow. Amazing.
It never fails, does it? 1-888-221-8990. Hey, speaking of wills and trusts, Greg, those are good things.
Great things. Yeah.
You know what? A lot of people, when they listen and they've not done a will, they don't realize if you did a will for somebody, you just don't do a will. You'll also do a power of attorney, a health care surrogate, a living will under most circumstances. Am I right?
Yeah, most circumstances, but not always.
Yeah,
not always.
So
you know, it depends. I mean, it's a great thing to do them all if you're doing all your estate planning.
So when you counsel somebody, you bring those subjects up and explain how they work.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess a healthcare surrogate means, let's say I have an accident in a car and I'm out to lunch and I can't do anything for myself. Somebody's going to have to make a decision for me.
Right.
And
right.
if I don't have a spouse.
Right.
And I don't have anybody named, it can be a bit of a problem because doctors are not anxious to operate on somebody without authority.
Yeah, or you have more than one child and the children aren't agreeing on what should be done, you know, what course of treatment or surgery or whatever the issue is with health.
Yeah, that's a pretty important
It's a great
document.
Thing to have, yeah.
And the power of attorney, same thing. I'm out to lunch, I'm laying in the hospital, I can't pay my electric bill or anything.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily out to lunch. You might be out of the country. I mean, it's just you're not available to do what you need to do as far as handling your assets.
So the power of attorney gives somebody authority to do that.
In terms of trust, though, isn't there like an issue with children from a previous marriage and protecting their estate should you die?
Children from a previous marriage, as far as doing a
trust?
Well,
an example, if you don't have, if you don't...
Let's take this caller first because we can't put him on hold. I did that. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Ken King. I'm calling. My father bought a house in 2009, contract to buy, and we got a warranted deed contract, and it was a house that was hurricane damaged, and we put it back together, and I've been paying a mortgage since then. but now we're having a hard time to get it where we can pay off. We got the money to pay it off, but a hard time to facilitate the deal. And I was just wondering if I could talk to a couple of your guys and get it done or get the right information to do it.
I'm so you're wanting to pay off the mortgage on the house, right?
Yeah, but it's a contract to buy with a warranted deed and everything. And it's just, yeah.
If it's
just
a contract for deed, if it's a contract for deed, the seller, I don't think they recorded a deed. You have a contract to buy this house, and when you get to the end, then they guarantee to give you a deed. Am I right?
Right. So yeah, it's a warranty deed on the contracts. I don't understand what that means.
Well, a contract for deed typically says that they'll put the deed in escrow, and then once the obligation to pay off the loan is complete, then they'll file the deed in your name. Now, you better check with a real estate attorney, because I don't believe contract for deeds are legal in the state of Florida.
Did they have an attorney?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting, too. Because actually, the people are from Canada.
Oh, no. Well,
that's the problem. So. Okay, so you're buying the houses in Florida, though.
Right.
And you
right,
signed
St. Lucie.
You signed and they signed an agreement, correct?
Right.
And was it recorded right at the courthouse?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that should have been recorded in one form or another. A lot of times it will do right for like a lease purchase agreement. Even those you can record. That means you have a right against that property.
Do you have a copy right of this agreement?
Oh, we have a whole stack of them.
I know, but signed by everybody and notarized?
Signed by everybody. I don't know about notarized.
Okay, now, are these people that you're buying the house from honorable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I would suggest. You know, you got two ways to go. A real estate attorney is one, or you could go to a title company and have the title company say, "Hey, we want to pay these people off and we want to get a warranty deed. Would you handle that for us?" And they'll get a hold of the seller, and if the seller is honorable and they do what you say, Dan doesn't think so, huh?
No, he just said he's having trouble. This guy's not going out of his way to help him.
Well, is the trouble because you can't figure out how to do it, or are the people that are selling it causing you trouble, or what?
No. The problem is that they're out of Canada, so every time I try to call and I'm using a cell phone, because no one has a hard line, it's hard to get your cell to go through into Canada, you know? And it's just the numbers that seem, you know, because I talked to them last January, and now I can't get a hold of them. The numbers are... It's just hard to get a hold of Canada, you know?
First thing so, I would do...
I wrote them two letters, too, and I haven't got a response.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I would suggest you do everything in writing, either email or letters, like you said. But if they're still not responding, then something is up. I would be concerned about that.
Yeah.
You can send a certified letter receipt. You know, what I'm trying to say is that if they have to sign for it, and if they're... Mm-hmm. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're honorable, but if they get that thing and have to sign for it and you want to pay off the house and they get back to you and say, okay, here's the payoff, let's get it done and we'll give you a deed, you won.
Hey, you know what you might also want to do, too? Have you checked public records to see if anything new has been recorded against that property?
They might have sold it to somebody else.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's what I've been kind of hoping not that would happen, because then all that would be null and void, everything I got stacked here.
You might want to go to the courthouse and just check out if there's any liens or mortgages or anything on the house.
I would suggest a real estate attorney. Yeah. I think he really needs to see a real estate attorney, to be honest with you, Joe.
Where do you live?
In Port St. Lucie, right off of Prima Vista and Bayshore.
Anyway,
when we got this house, it was hurricane damage, and I'm a carpenter, and I put the whole house back together, and I pulled all the permits.
That's not going to take care of the deed. You know, that's what I'm trying to say is, Greg, do you want to talk to them, or do you know what a real estate attorney that should do that?
Yeah, I can refer him if he wants to give me a call.
Here's what you do. Let me give you Greg Fasula's phone number. He's the attorney sitting here. You ready? You got a pen handy?
I'm getting one. If I walk out in the other room, the radio's blasting. So bear to let me. I'm running.
Huh?
I probably have his number.
I don't know if he took it or not.
I think.
All right, I'm ready.
772-337-0062. I don't do that sort of thing, but I might be able to refer you to someone.
All righty. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, give Greg a call tomorrow, and he'll point you in the right direction.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, boy, that's
that's a tough one.
Not an easy.
He said he's done a lot of work to it. He's brought
well,
it back.
Well, you know, and it happens all the time. People trust people, right? You shake a hand, and you think you got an honorable thing, and all of a sudden, like Mike, you're saying, go check.
Always go to a real estate attorney.
Always. And get a professional realtor to help you find a home, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, once he's done, though, see, here comes a situation where he made a mistake. Hopefully it'll work out, but it doesn't look good.
What makes it worse is these people are in Canada. And
it's much worse.
You know, filing against people out of the country.
Well, first thing I'd do before I'd even call an attorney, I'd go see if there's any liens or mortgages on the property already, because it might be moot if he wants to go and chase something that he doesn't even own or has no chance of owning.
Right.
That's another big problem. Hey, let's call it rent.
Long-term.
Long-term rent. And you may lose. But, hey, take your steps one at a time. Call Greg, and Greg will point you. But you probably, like Victoria said, get a real estate attorney. And yeah, that's going to make it. All right, we're winding down. What do you think we have here?
A 3 1/4 minutes.
3 1/4.
That's a lot.
We don't have a sign for 3 1/4.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We do for one.
Working up. Well, we had some unusual phone calls today. That was a little different. I don't know how we got going on the real estate thing, but that did. A
couple of interesting calls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we'll point people the best we can and do the best we can to help you. You know, we were talking about a deed before with that one lady that called in that one man and his wife was on the note, it sounds like, and he never got on it.
He did.
Yeah, I think we might be referring a couple of real estate attorneys.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
1-888. Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth? More than one attorney. That's always exciting. 1-888-221-8990. You know, we got the entire group here today. This is the first time in a long time we've had the entire group together. And we want to thank everybody for calling in and listening. We're a very blessed group. Sitting here is over 200 years of combined experience.
Mostly you.
Yeah, half of it's sitting right on that chair right there.
I was going to say.
On mic.
I'm probably number two.
You know, we got a woman over here who's 104 years old, but you're never dyed her hair. I'm kidding, Vic.
But I never have dyed my hair.
I know.
That's okay. But I am only 100.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know where you get this 104 from.
That's right.
Well, we've got another week or so before Christmas, but we're getting in the holiday spirit. Mm-hmm. In our
hey, I'm going to go to the live nativity this weekend, talking about the holidays.
At the Redeemer Lutheran on East Ocean?
Yes, wherever we're going to go. Yeah, we go there every year.
What time is it? What time?
I think 6 to 8.
6 to 8 p.m. Yeah. On Saturday and Sunday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but a lot of churches are going to have some really wonderful things this holiday, so get out there and enjoy them.
Good Everybody, idea. Thank you so much for calling, and if you need anything, you call the radio station. They'll take your name and number, and we'll get back with you, and thank you for listening, and thank you for the calls, and we'll see you
next
week.
God bless you all.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye.
So guess what?
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
King of the ages, all through the pages of time,
I have been yours and you have been mine. You have been my King, King of all glory. You are the victorious one. You won my heart and I have become your precious one. You are